In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So unless you've been living under a rock or in a cave, you probably know by the readings of the church the last couple of weeks that the end of the year is coming to a close, and it's being reflected in the readings about the end of the age. And it's not for us to focus on the details of the signs to come, but to focus more on vigilance, watchfulness, preparedness. I want to talk today about life beyond the grave, which I think when we begin a topic like that, it poses more questions than answers, which is okay because we are not to know everything. Death is a transfer from an existence in this world to the life after the grave. It's not something that's concrete. It's not easy to understand. It's not something that comes with experience. I mean, how many of you have died? It's a silly question, right? Not yet. So it doesn't come with past experience. It's a change in the condition of the human existence. The earthly life comes to an end, and a new life begins without interruption. There's no space in between. It just carries through. Now, how we Christians accept death, according to the Holy Scripture, we believe that after the death of the body, the immortal soul continues to live. The soul is created to be immortal. The human being is separated from his fleshly body, so to speak. The body disintegrates, it's corrupted, it corrupts in the ground, and the spirit lives. And this is what we believe. This is the teachings of the Holy Scriptures concerning death. But there are questions that come up, like, what kind of a spiritual being shall we remain in the afterlife? Are we going to have some other body, which is ethereal, celestial? Will it exist in a definite place that's common to all? Will there be a transfer from one place to another at any given time? Of course, in the afterlife, there's no time. Shall we remain in that same place forever? These are the questions that come up for us. Will our soul, after death, remain with self-consciousness? Will it be aware? We know that we have a rational soul. A rational soul. Will the soul remember our former life that we lived here in the world? Will it remember former joys and former sorrows? Or will our soul like be in this state of chaos and forgetfulness? This is what people ask. Like it's being brought out for the first time out of existence, out of nothing. This is what some people believe. What will its relationship be with the souls of our loved ones who have preceded us, who've left the world already? What will it be in relationship to those who are still in the world? The same beautiful feelings of affection and love that I have for my family that bind us here on earth, will it be lived also in the afterlife? That same affection for my family, will it be renewed in the afterlife? These are the questions that come up. And we don't profess to know all the answers, but we look at the basic tenets of Christianity that tells us that the Son of God became the Son of Man, and He was crucified for the salvation of human beings. And this salvation is not given to us without terms and conditions. The salvation is not given to us without terms and conditions. It's not enough for us just to believe that Christ is the Son of the living God. If we just have faith, that's not enough. It's a dead faith if there's no works, if we are not fulfilling our obligations as Christians. Christian faith should be expressed by doing the will of God. And we heard this countless times, I think as recent as 2 weeks ago, the gospel was about, at least towards the end of the gospel, they were telling our Lord Jesus Christ, your mother and your brother and your sister are asking about you. They're looking for you. And he said, who are my mother and my brother and my sister? And he said, those who do the will of God are my mother and my brother and my sister. He also said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So it's not enough to say, Lord, I knew you. Lord, I had faith in you. But did you do my will? He's going to ask. Did you follow the teachings that was presented to you in the scripture? The commandments, and there are many of them. One of them I'll present to you. Truly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. So that's a condition. That's a term that we have in order for us to attain the heavenly kingdom. We find that for salvation, the sacrament of baptism is necessary. The sacrament of the Eucharist is essential. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. All these things work together with faith, confirmation through the holy sacraments, and this is the way we work out our salvation. And I'm focusing more on this rather than the signs that were presented to us in the gospel, because it's not for us to try to put two and two together to predict any outcome or any timeline as to when the end of the age will be. But there has to be some cooperation on our part that we are willing to work with God synergistically. If we are indifferent, if we are negligent in working out or appropriating our salvation, then the reward that's waiting for us is not going to be ours. In fact, there's punishment awaiting us. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, is what he's going to say to us. But to others, he's going to say something else. He's going to say, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So there's definitely going to be a separation at the end of the age. And all these questions that are raised, they cannot be answered by science or by proofs or by logic or by the elements that are tangible. When we talk about the next life, it's not something that you can study in science. But Christians, they hold fast to their teachings that come from the Holy Scripture and from Holy Tradition. Scripture and tradition. What does the Holy Scripture and tradition teach us about life beyond the grave? Well, very little. And we have to admit that, and we have to accept that. It presents very little about life after the grave. It's not clear. And the reason is logical. The reason is simple. The reason is natural, actually, if you think about it. Because all the teachings of Christianity that you're going to find in doctrines and dogmas, they propose to teach man his relationship with God and his relationship with his fellow man. Those two basic tenets. And we can find them in the Ten Commandments, right? The first four are related to our relationship with God, and the next six, our relationship with each other. So the first one is for man to know and to believe who his Creator is and Savior, and how to worship him in a sublime way, spiritual way. And secondly, for us to apply these teachings, to apply the will of God in our relationship with other fellow human beings during our life on earth. In other words, to do good versus to do bad, to choose good over evil. All of these truths are revealed to us through the Scripture and through holy tradition adequately enough. It should be sufficient for us. From the moment of death, we end our struggle. No longer can we work. Any effort towards salvation, which we are trying now, comes to an end. And we're reminded of this in the parable of the 10 virgins, if you remember. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish. The 5 wise were prepared and had their lamps trimmed. The 5 foolish were not. The bridegroom came at midnight unannounced. And the five wise were prepared, the five foolish, they scrambled. And it was too late, the door was closed, they were knocking. And the bridegroom said to them, I don't know you, who are you? So there's going to come a point where the door closes, and we can't work out our salvation anymore. We can't better ourselves. A new condition begins from the moment of death. And the soul is in the hands of God. So, it's a matter of God. Once we reach the grave, it's a matter of God. There's nothing more that we can do. There's no reason for God to reveal to man all that should transpire after his death. There's no reason for us to know all the details that come off after that, because it's not our business. There's nothing that we can do. It's in God's hands. And that's why we're given very little about what comes after the grave. But the essential and necessary information that we have is that the soul is immortal, and that as long as we cooperate with God while living in the world, then we have a good place prepared for us in the afterlife. If all of this is not good enough, or it's not sufficient for people to be careful in their lives, then what will be? What will knowing the details of the afterlife, how will that help anybody? Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man was tormented in the afterlife, and he had a discussion with our father Abraham. And he said, I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, because I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. The rich man said, no, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. In other words, if someone is raised from the dead, maybe they'll listen to him. But look at what Abraham answered and said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. That's the way human beings operate. So, in other words, if the impious, if the wicked ones living in the world don't believe all that the Holy Scripture says, that they will be punished, if they continue in their life of wretchedness, then would really the graves opening and people rising from the dead, would the details of the afterlife really make a difference for them? So these truths that we do know are revealed to us in the Scripture and through Holy Tradition. And they contain some elements for us to consider. Now, unfortunately, there are some people that doubt and they reject the authenticity and the sacredness of the holy books. And if that's the case, then what difference would it be if 10 more books were added that explain the details of the afterlife? Of course, there's no such thing. But if they don't believe the one book, why would they believe anything else that might come their way? For this reason, in the Holy Scripture, we don't have sufficient or at least definite and clear teachings of this matter. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father alone. We don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come to judge the living and the dead. This God has withheld from us, this teaching. It's not revealed to us. Even the apostles when they write, even the evangelists when they record, even the prophets of the Old Testament when they prophesy, just because they received visions or they were divinely inspired to write does not mean that they had the knowledge of all. Omniscience, which means the knowledge of everything, and is only attributed to God. Omniscience is only attributed to God alone. So they saw visions and it was revealed to them by God and they were messengers of God, but they didn't have complete knowledge of the mysteries of the deity, of the invisible or the spiritual world. They had limited information that was presented to them by God, and they did their job as messenger or scribe. We now see through what's called, you know what a lattice is? Like it's a fence that kind of comes together like this and you can kind of see through a lattice. We're seeing through to the afterlife through a lattice. We can't see clearly. But the eyes of the soul is looking at some glimpse of what is awaiting us at life after the grave. The Holy Scriptures talk about it, and the Gospels talk about it in the Acts, the Epistles of the Apostles, the Revelation of St. John, of course, the Fathers of the Church have revealed to us. We all arrive at the desired answer, which gives us that this life spiritually is what we need to work on and live a life of preparedness, live a life of watchfulness, because we don't know when it will come. But even this information concerning the unknown mystery of death doesn't comprise an open door. It's not an open door that you can look through. It's always going to be clouded. And we have to accept that. May our Lord Jesus Christ not allow us to be burdened by the details of the Gospels that have been presented to us the last couple of weeks in terms of the signs and the occurrences that will happen in the world before the time is near. It's not something for us to focus on. It's good to reflect, but the important thing is have you renewed your spiritual life with Christ? Have you tried to work on your salvation by appropriating, is a good word, or by working out your salvation? This is what we're called to do when we hear towards the end of the Coptic year the gospel about the end of the age. We are reminded that the end of the age can come at any moment and that we should live a life of preparedness so that we can be received into the heavenly kingdom joyfully, and glory be to God forever. Amen.